We now begin Parakeet Aleph, chapter 11. And I want to get as much done within Parakeet Aleph as I can because we only have one more session. And how that's going to happen, I don't know. But we'll see. But Parakeet Aleph, chapter 11, is basically Wars of the Greeks. There are several different tacks on what happens here among the commentators. As we've said before, I'm taking Abarbanel straight. I think that he provides a good, coherent narrative which is linked closely to history, and he plays this as straight history. He does note that others will see some deeper metaphors and messages here, but I think it does read as straight history, and he favors a version of the history that he actually credits to the Christian commentators, although he's the one to link it to the verses of Daniel Parakeet Aleph of this chapter. But he says the Christian historians, you know, are basically right in terms of their history. It's just a matter of linking it to the text here. He quotes also Rashi and Ralbag, who have other approaches. He has Rabbi Avraham Bar Chiya, but we're going to go with his approach to how this works. So first of all, Parakeet Aleph, Pasuk Bet, chapter 11, sentences 1 and 2 are our starting point. Vani bishnas achas l'daryavesh hamadi. I, in the first year of Darius the Mede. Now, you may recall, we saw a Darius a few chapters ago. This is not the same Darius. This is a later Darius who's after Cyrus. In other words, we're not going back. The first Darius we saw was the one who defeated the Babylonian Belshazzar and reigned for a year, and then Cyrus took over from him. Right, he was the uncle slash father-in-law of Cyrus. You remember that story, hopefully. So this is now a second Darius who's after Cyrus. We're not going back in time to the previous Darius.
So this is the one that's historically true.
This is the one that history testifies to. Right. This would also then be the one potentially who is either the son of or grandson of, I forget exactly, Ahasuerus and Esther. So now we're post Purim. I don't know who I is or who I be here just yet, but let's read the sentence first. Vani bishnas achas l'daryavesh hamadi. I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, omdi l'machazik ulama'oz lo. I, by the way, he would not then be a Mede, which creates certain problems, but I'm going to pretend that I didn't read the word the Mede on this right now. I stood as a machazik, as a source of strength, umaoz, a source of strength lo for him. Ve'ata pasuk bet, and then we're going to come back to pasuk aleph. Ve'ata emes agidlach. Now I will tell you truth. Hine od shlosha malachim omdim lefaras. Three more kings will rise for Persia. V'harvi'i ashir osher gadol mikol. And the fourth will become wealthier than all the others. Ukechez kaso be'ashro ya'ir hakol eis malchus yavan. And in his strength, in his wealth, that he will have ya'ir hakol. He will arouse all. And specifically the kingdom of Yavan, the kingdom of Greece. What in the world are you talking about? With the kingdom of Greece, upon the kingdom of Greece, what do you mean? So, a few things. First of all, who is speaking here? It is somebody who stands as a source of strength for somebody else. So, Abarbanel notes that the easy way to read this would be as an extension of the end of chapter 10. In which Gabriel talked about fighting with others, and Michael is the only one with him. And so Gabriel is saying, and I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I strengthened him. The antecedent is Michael. But Abarbanel says, that can't be, because Michael is greater than Gabriel. Remember, we saw a couple of chapters ago that Gabriel is taking orders from Michael, and that Daniel can see Gabriel, but he can't see Michael. So he cannot be a source of strength for Michael. It doesn't work.
Can it not be a source of strength for Darius?
A source of strength for Darius, yes. So that is right.
Strengthen him, not.
So two approaches are offered. One from Ralbag, one from Abarbanel. Ralbag indeed takes the view that Gabriel is strengthening Michael. But Abarbanel says Gabriel is strengthening either Darius or the officer of Persia. because this is now in the time when the order has been given to permit the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. The construction may now go forward. And so he's either strengthening Darius in his permission to build, or he's strengthening the officer of Persia, bless you, because the Persians are currently kind to the Jews. So the lo, him, can be either Darius, in this sentence that would work, or the officer of Persia with whom he was fighting in the preceding chapter. Remember that we didn't do the chapter breaks, so don't be offended by the idea of traversing chapters to find an antecedent. That's okay. But he said, here's your truth, here's your message, three more kings will stand for Persia, and then the fourth will have great wealth. So this is the verse that we mentioned last week as problematic, because we said there are a lot more kings in the historical record. Abarbanel here lists you 14 Persian kings recorded in Roman records. The truth is that the records of Persia are hard to work with. But what do we do? How do we understand it? So take a look on your sheet, and you will see source number 6. Well, source number 6 was the one I just referenced, actually, about being a source of aid. So I already referenced it, so we don't need to read it inside, but you can see it on the sheet. We'll save a little bit of time. But source number 7, Abarbanel's way of dealing with this problem, remember that last time he discredited Josephus. He said, I don't believe Josephus. But he has to deal with the fact that every other historian is talking about being many more kings. However you read this, whether you say that these kings include Cyrus or don't include Cyrus, you cannot add them up and come up with 10, much less 14. So he says in source number 7, Omnam, Hamalach he'id kafidvarav, shalo yu leparas mi malachim bakipa, rak koresh v'gimel malachim war ba'a v'alav ro'i lismoch. He says the angel testifies that that Persia only has Cyrus and three or four other kings who reign over the world. In other words, kings who had real serious power. Remember that he already told us weeks ago that when the Gemara says, the Medrash says that kings reigned over the world, it doesn't mean over the world. It means they had an expanded empire. So he says the kings who are really serious kings are these three or four other kings. And he says, I depend on the angel. Don't ask me about historians. That's one. And then he says, Chazal lo shalalu shalohayu yosir megimu malachim b'paras v'lo manu osam. He has a problem because the sages in a midrashic work called Seder Olam, which we've mentioned before, give us a chronology of kings, and they say there were only Cyrus, Darius, Artaxasta, perhaps. They don't list all these kings that the historians know of. So he says, they weren't telling you that there are only this number of kings. Aval amru bilvad osam shekiblu Yisrael mehem im tov v'im rash im koresh v'achashverosh v'dayavesh. They only mentioned the ones who affected the Jews, whether good or bad. And so that was Cyrus, Achashverosh, and Darius. That's your list. Not because there weren't others, but because they only mentioned the ones who were significant. That's Abarbanel's way of dealing with the problem. It doesn't solve the entire problem, but that's his approach. So, the angel says to him that there are going to be these kings. The last of them is going to have great wealth, and he is going to create a big battle against Yavan, against Greece. And that we know is Darius. Not this Darius, a different Darius. There are a lot of Darii. This is a Darius who indeed fights against the Greeks. And the Greeks, Philip of Macedonia, Alexander's father, pays tribute to him. But that all comes to a crashing halt with the rise of Alexander. Pasuk Gimel, sentence 3. V'amad melech gibor, u'mashal mimshal rav v'asakir tzano, a mighty king will arise. And he is going to have great power, and he will do as he wishes. No one stands in the way of Alexander, not successfully at any rate. Pasuk Dalet, sentence 4. U'cha'omdo tishaver malchuso, and in his might, his monarchy will be broken, his empire will be broken, and we've seen already earlier in the book, he doesn't fall in war, and therefore it will be broken. It happens through some other circumstance, some disease, whatever it is, that befalls Alexander. V'techatz la'arba ruchos Hashamayim. And his empire is split in four directions. And we said already last time or the time before, it doesn't mean only four, but the point is there are many after him. Sorry? That's Greece. Yes, this is all about Greece. Correct. And there are many sub-empires that break off of his. There are maybe four principal rulers among them. Velo la'achariso. But they are not going to be his equal. Velo chemashlo asher mashal. They will not reign as he did. Kisi nasesh malchuso v'la'acherim milavadela. His monarchy will be lost. His empire will be lost. It will not be as powerful as it was. And it will fall to others too, aside from these. It's not just the four, but there will be a many of these. Remember, we talked about them already. But the key storyline goes with the kings of the north and the south. Now, there's a lot of debate as to the identity of these kings. I'm working again, as I said, with Abarbanel's version of it, in which the south refers to the reign of the Ptolemies based in Egypt, and the north is the Seleucid Empire, which is based in, I think, in Assyria. So he says, V'yechazak melech ha-Negev, the king of the south, Ptolemy, will be powerful. Umin sarav. Abarbanel says, ignore the vav, umin. It's one of these odd vavs that you find here and there in the Torah, which don't seem to mean and. But of the officers who succeed Alexander, the Ptolemy in the south will be very strong. V'yechazak alav u'mashal mimshal rav mimshal to. He will have great power. This is still part of the Greek Empire. It's just that the Greek Empire has broken into fragments. So he will arise against him. Who is him? As you will see, it's going to be the king of the north. This will be in Antiochus, actually.
Antiochus is one of his officers.
Sorry?
The king of the south will grow powerful, however, one of his officers will overpower him and rule.
Okay.
An extensive dominion.
Okay. I mean, they're following one of the many other approaches here. I'm not going to get stuck on the different approaches, because we'll be there forever trying to figure that out. Ulekeit shanim yischabaru. And at the end of years, they will join it together. There will be an attempt to make peace between the north and the south, and the way it works is Ubas Melech HaNegev Tavoa Melech HaTzafon La'asos Meisharim. In order to make peace, they do what happens over and over again in history: marriage, political marriage. So the daughter of the Ptolemy is given to Antiochus in marriage, with the idea that their son will then reign over the united empire. Velo Satzor Kala Hazeroa Velo Yaamod Uzro O. Unfortunately, this will not work. We're in Pasuk Vav, sentence 6. Power will not remain with this union. The peace will not hold. But instead, in the fullness of time, she and those who brought her, and her midwife, and her nurse perhaps, those who support her, all of them will be given over. And what happens is, Abarbanel builds on the historical account that he has, that Antiochus' son, Seleucus, along with Antiochus' concubine, who is rather jealous of what's going on, conspire to kill Antiochus, who has made this pact, along with the daughter of this Ptolemy from the south and all the Egyptian officers who have come along with her, right? So they and for obvious reasons, because otherwise they're going to be shut out of the line of monarchy, right? Until now, Antiochus's other wife, this concubine, and their son would have been the heir, and now they're being shut out of the line. So instead, the Seleucus and the concubine conspire and they kill this bride. Which brings us to Pasuk Zion, sentence 7. Ve'amad minetzer sharasha kano v'yavo el hachayil. A new Ptolemy will arise. The shoot coming forth from her roots, meaning from the south, will come forth v'yavo el hachayil, and he will come out in force. V'yavo b'ma'oz melech hatzafon. He will invade the fortress of the king of the north. And he will act upon them and he will take power in the north. So the south takes revenge. V'gam Eloheihem im nesicheihem, and their gods with their princes, im kleichem dasam, with their wonderful treasures, kesef v'zahav, silver and gold, bashvi avi mitzrayim. He's going to take it all in spoils to Egypt. V'hu shanim yamod, he will last for years, mimelech hatzafon, from the north, meaning he'll be safe from the empire of the north. Uba b'malchus, sentence 9, Uba b'malchus melech ha-negev v'shavel ad maso, and he will then come back to the south safely to his land. So what has happened is there's a war going between the north and the south. There's an attempt to make peace. The north breaks the peace. The south invades the north, conquers the north, and goes home. That, of course, will last only until Pasuk Yud, till sentence 10, but we will pick up with that, God willing, next time.